Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, September the 24th, and it's time for our weekly State Capitol Report. When we talk with Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter Sean Johnson about what our state lawmakers are up to and the very latest in state politics, and lots to report today, maybe a breakthrough in the state budget stalemate. Governor Jim Doyle says he will meet today with legislative leaders. He'll start this morning, and he says he'll meet as long as it takes to reach a budget deal. His announcement came on Friday after Senate Democrats agreed to drop their universal health care plan if Republicans go along with the tax increases that Doyle wants. Republicans say they will present a counterproposal today. Governor Doyle says all budget proposals will be on the table when he meets with the lawmakers. He says at least two and maybe three of the 8 conference committee members will be in on the talks. He says he wants to get the budget done by next Friday or this Friday to avoid a possible $600 million property tax increase caused by schools and local governments not having a state budget in place and the state money that that they need. So we'll talk about all of these developments with Sean Johnson, and we will welcome your thoughts and questions. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Sean Johnson is Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. Good morning, Sean.
Morning, Joy.
Lots of stuff going on at the state capitol. Sounds like that this might be a breakthrough.
It might be. You could look at it a couple of ways. It's either the conference committee of the 8 lawmakers that have been discussing this for the past couple months. It's either that breaking down, or you could look at it as sort of the start of talks with the leaders and the governor.
Yeah. This started, it seems to me, by the state superintendent of public instruction, Elizabeth Burmeister. Is that right? Burmeister,
sure.
Who was saying the schools need a budget by September 28th or everybody's going to pay big.
Yeah, and people were kind of wondering. She threw that deadline out last month when the governor was touring with superintendents to sort of put pressure on lawmakers to pass his budget. And, now that Republicans have basically passed his budget out of the state assembly, there was some question whether that date really meant September 28th. And so reporters sat down with Superintendent Burmeister, asked her about it, and she said it's a real deadline. She says her office needs to know how much state aid schools will receive by that date, so it has enough time to figure out how to distribute the money among Wisconsin's school districts.
When we set the 28th date, we really felt that that was absolutely the drop-dead latest date that realistically we can get this done. So questions of, well, at 4 o'clock on the 28th or 6 o'clock on the 28th, that's like, I feel like I'm a teacher again, and people are asking, can I turn my homework assignment in late or something? We need a budget. We need a budget.
So will the homework be done by the 28th, Sean?
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like a lot of work to do in 5 days. You talk to some people, and they say that people know what kind of deals need to be made for this to get done. This can get done in a few days if leaders just sit down and really talk about it. But budget talks have not gone quickly this year, and the conference committee in particular has had a hard time agreeing to much.
What about the state assembly also last week? I think the day after Libby Burmeister made those comments, passed a separate education budget. Wouldn't that take care of the schools who need their need to know what to do by the 28th?
It would. I mean, if both the assembly and the Senate agreed to that standalone education budget, and the governor signed it, that Elizabeth Burmeister would have enough information to tell schools how much aid they're going to receive. That would be the information she'd go by. And she said if that happened, she would follow the law. Although she was very adamant that we need to pass a whole budget, you don't really need to for her department specifically. So it's a possibility that's out there, but Democrats have said time and again that that's not how we're going to do this. And the governor, when asked about it on Friday, said again, that's just a dangerous path to go down. We're going to pass a whole budget all at once.
Yeah. Now, this was not just Republicans in the state assembly that voted for this standalone education budget.
No, there were 20 Democrats who supported this. And in a way, it's just it's hard not to, because it's your governor's position on education. It's the amount of state aid that the Senate Democrats passed. And there is a very real possibility, given the way talks have gone, that you won't have a budget by this date that the superintendent laid out. And if that doesn't happen, school districts will have to lean harder on property taxpayers to fund education. And, you know, if that's the case, you don't look too good for having voted against a budget that would have taken care of that. So it puts a lot of pressure on them. And some Republicans are trying to, well, repeatedly pressure the Senate Majority Leader to take this up in her house. The thinking being that if it gets if it's up for a vote there, you might have a similar situation with several Democrats supporting it and passing.
We, on this program on Friday during this hour, talked with State Senator John Erpenbach, who is considered the primary architect, or at least one of the main sponsors, of Healthy Wisconsin, a universal health care proposal funded by payroll taxes that would provide health care coverage for everyone in the state of Wisconsin. He was saying at that time that Healthy Wisconsin was not the reason that the budget was being delayed, and that people care about health care and want a better health care plan for the state of Wisconsin, and was sort of defending Healthy Wisconsin. Then, just hours later, it was announced that the Dems were pulling it, or maybe pulling it off the table, right?
Right. And you've got to imagine they decided all this when they met in privately, the entire Democratic caucus, earlier in the week. Democrats said that they'll pull it, but there are some conditions.
Yeah,
attached.
let me check weather, and then we'll hear from Judy Robson and Mike Hipsch via your tape, Sean. We are talking with Sean Johnson. He is Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, and we welcome your reactions about this proposal to pull the universal health care plan off the table to try to break the budget stalemate, or any other questions you have about the state budget. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, 18 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, September the 24th. You're listening to our State Capitol Report. We're talking with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. Coming up after 7:30, we will welcome in a Republican state senator from New Berlin, Mary Lazick, who will give us her take on all the latest news regarding the state budget. So, Sean, we heard on Friday that Democrats proposed, anyway, taking Healthy Wisconsin, the universal health care plan, out of the budget negotiations. Is that going to break the logjam?
I don't think that was the only thing holding up talks by any means. There was a lot in the governor's budget that Republicans objected to as well. But this is something that Republicans have seized on every week in negotiations. It certainly created a lot of discussion around the Capitol. And so Senate Majority Leader Judy Robson said, we'll set this aside for now, take it out of the budget to move things forward. But she also indicated that that required Republicans to accept some other demands.
In order to remove Healthy Wisconsin, we need Badger Care Plus, we need a cigarette tax increase, we need mental health parity, and we need coverage for autism, and we also need the rest of our package.
Hmm. Lots of things the Democrats are asking for the dropping that health care program.
Yeah, and when she's talking about the package, this is a lot of the stuff that the governor asked for back when he delivered his budget in February. That cigarette tax, the hospital assessment, the tax on nursing homes, all these things are designed to generate Medicaid dollars to pay for health care for the poor and disabled. But they altogether, if you take new taxes and transfers out of the patient compensation fund, that's more than $1 billion that Republicans would be asked to agree to. And so they weren't exactly happy with being told, we'll take this out of your way if you agree to this. And Speaker Mike Hipsch told Robson he appreciated that Democrats are taking Healthy Wisconsin out of the budget, and he promised a public hearing for it. But he said that's all he was going to agree to.
Let me make something very clear. I am accepting the fact that you're removing Healthy Wisconsin from the budget today. I am providing you nothing in return. We will continue to discuss the differences of this budget, and we will continue to discuss the issues that you pointed out, like mental health parity and the autism issue and many of those other issues. But I am not saying in any way that I will now trade all of these items so that Healthy Wisconsin comes out of the budget.
Well, then it doesn't sound like we're going to have a budget by Friday, does it, Sean?
Not the way they were negotiating at this table. And so the thought is that, they needed to sit down and have some real frank discussions. And so after Democrats pulled this out of the budget, Governor Doyle called a press conference almost immediately and said, you know, I want everybody to come to my house, basically. And he thanked Democrats for making a major concession. He said Republicans had made a major concession by going to his school's budget. But he said that, you know, now was the time for all sides to talk about the budget day and night until there's a deal.
People have been working hard at this. My office has been involved in it. I've been involved in it. Legislators of both sides have been involved in it. The conferees have been involved in it. But now we just have to squeeze the time down. We can't have proposals that we'll get back to you tomorrow or the next talk is 2 days later. That all now has to happen in a matter of hours and days to get a budget done on time.
So they start today.
They start today. They're supposed to come into the governor's office at 9 o'clock this morning. The three of them are going to hold a press conference at 10. Not sure what they'll have to report in an hour of talks. Given that, you know, they all talked to the media on Friday after all this happened. But the pressure is definitely on. I mean, the September 28th deadline that we talked about is this Friday. There's a lot that needs to be done by this Friday. And even if they come up with these deals, they have to get the votes. And that's, I think, going to be a fairly delicate matter. And he was talking to Representative Jim Cruiser's office. He's the Assembly Minority Leader. And the thought is that if there's any tax increase in this budget, it's going to take some Assembly Democrats to pass it. And he said that, that they hadn't approached that office yet to talk about votes, and they'd be ready to talk about that when the time was there. But the time's not there yet. They kind of have to start from square one, sort of.
Yeah. Well, callers, what do you think of these developments? Do you want the Healthy Wisconsin plan off the table? Do you think this will break the logjam? If you were Governor Doyle, what would you be saying to the legislative leaders about getting a budget done? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We welcome your calls for Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. We do have Steve in Madison on the line. Hi, Steve. You're on the air.
Good morning, Joy.
Good morning.
Actually, I'm rather glad that Healthy Wisconsin is off the table for the moment as a part of the budget. It just amazes me that the government will come up with a program and say that this is so wonderful and it'll solve all your problems and we worked so hard on it and yada yada, and you have to join it. If Healthy Wisconsin was an opt-in, opt-out kind of thing, I would be much more inclined to it. If somebody were to come along and say to you, we have a wonderful car, it's safe, it's reliable, it gets great gas mileage, enjoy, you have to buy it. We have a law, we just passed a law that says you have to buy this car. I think you would see how ridiculous that kind of thing is. But when we exchange the word health care for car, all of a sudden the logic changes and we seem to think that, oh yeah, of course, government should be able to require us to buy this health plan that they say is so self-evidently good that any right-thinking person would join it. I say pull it off.
Well, it at least appears to be pulled off. Sean, can you explain why the supporters of Healthy Wisconsin wanted this to be mandatory, that everybody had to carry insurance?
Yeah, well, I mean, their thinking is that unless you have this large buying pool where everybody's in, you won't be able to lower costs. That if it's a voluntary thing, they've had voluntary insurance pools all over the country that haven't, in many cases, have failed because they don't have the buying power to do what they need. Steve was talking about an optional healthcare program, though, and that the governor sort of has his own vision of universal healthcare. It's not replacing the system the way that Senate Democrats wanted to do, but he's talking about expanding the existing, government safety net for people who can't afford health care to be able to buy into Medicaid. That's his Badger Care Plus program that you heard Senate Majority Leader Judy Robson talk to there earlier. And that may be seen as sort of the middle ground in this health debate. If we're not going to go with universal health care, this is something the governor really wants, and I'm sure he'll push for in these talks.
Yeah. Now, I was hearing some people talking about, all right, Democrats pulled Healthy Wisconsin. That's a major concession. But I still are hearing the Republicans, including Mike Hipsch, saying we're not promising anything or trading anything for that concession, because the Republicans are still hard and fast, no tax increases. And I'm just trying to figure out how, you know, how there's going to be a state budget. That at least one that the governor wants that doesn't include those cigarette tax increases or the, you know, the other tax increases that he proposed.
Given the new programs that he wants. I mean, if he wants to expand health care and if he wants to spend more money on the University of Wisconsin, actually, if he wants the education budget that even Republicans have agreed to right now, it all takes extra money. And the state is going to bring in extra money without increasing any new taxes. But not as much as, you know, the governor wants for all the things he's talking about doing here. So there's, if everybody's going to reach a compromise, there almost, you would assume there's going to be a tax increase in there somewhere. So it's really sort of up to Assembly Republicans whether they want to do that. If Speaker Hipsch does that, the trouble for him is when he does that, there are several of his members, you know, a dozen to 20, depending on which pledge you look at, who have said we're not going to vote for any budget that increases taxes. So that's where it gets really interesting when you talk about votes. And, you know, speaking of Doyle, the pressure is really on him as well this week, because you go around the state and, you know, people may not know who Mike Hipsch is in northern Wisconsin, or Judy Robson, or, you know, the average person may not know these legislative leaders, but basically people know the governor. He's sort of the face of state government. And so if things go awry with this budget, people are going to wonder what the governor did about it. So I think that's why you're seeing him bring everybody together this week.
Well, yeah, that's what I was wondering, because there were, you know, there were some calls that, hey, the governor's, you know, not as involved as he should be, and he should be, you know, he should be at the table, too. And the governor went on his trade mission for 3 weeks,
which was scheduled earlier in the year. But then again, I think people thought that this was going to go pretty late from the get go. I think the governor never supported Healthy Wisconsin, the universal health care plan. But he had to sort of, I think he took the approach that he would step out of the way and let Senate Democrats do their thing, because if he wants them to support his initiatives, he needs to be supportive of them in, you know, however he can.
Mm-hmm. Well, in our final minute here, Sean, what's your crystal ball tell you?
It may be harder to keep track of this week what's going on. They're going to be meeting in private a lot. It's not going to be the open meetings that we've had for several months. And so we'll see if there is progress. We may not know about it until after it's happened. I'd be interested to see how the Republican caucus and the assembly in particular takes to whatever deal the speaker agrees to with the governor. I think that's the big question mark here.
Well, I hope when we talk next week, Sean, we'll have a budget to report on. We'll just have to see, I guess.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Joy.
Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio's state government reporter. We'll talk with a Republican state senator about the budget after the news. Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 7:36 on this Monday, September the 24th. Democrats made a concession on Friday in budget negotiations, offering to drop their $15 billion universal health care proposal as long as Republicans agreed to a variety of other tax increases, like a hike in the cigarette tax to help fund health care needs. But Republicans balked at being forced to accept tax increases on cigarettes and hospitals and a $175 million fund transfer in exchange for the Democrats dropping Healthy Wisconsin or universal health care. Assembly Speaker Mike Hipsch says Republicans will review the latest proposal and get back to Democrats today. Senate Minority Leader Scott Fitzgerald says Democrats knew their health care proposal wasn't going anywhere, so the offer to withdraw it in exchange for other tax increases is not reasonable. We wonder what you think. 1-800-642-1234, in Madison 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We will talk with our guest lawmaker this half hour about the latest news pertaining to the state budget, or to the proposed state budget, that is. The budget is now about 3 months late, and the governor says time is a-wastin'. Governor Doyle and the two legislative leaders will meet today and start working a compromise out on a state budget bill. The conference committee has not been able to work out the differences between the budget passed by the Republican-controlled Assembly and the one passed by the Democratically-controlled Senate. And today, Doyle will be sitting down with Assembly Speaker Mike Hipsch and Senate Majority Leader Judy Robson. All three say they should be able to hammer out a deal possibly by the end of the week. We'll wonder if our guest agrees with that. And again, we will welcome your thoughts and questions about the budget stalemate, or maybe now the budget breakthrough. Our guest is Mary Lazick. She is a Republican state senator from New Berlin, and she joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thank you so much for joining us.
And thank you for having me.
Now, this was big news on Friday afternoon. Democrats say they'll drop the $15 billion Healthy Wisconsin proposal, but hope that Republicans will go along with the cigarette tax increase and these other things to fund other health care proposals. What do you think of that?
Well, I think that it was inevitable that Healthy Wisconsin would get dropped somewhere along the way. I think for two reasons, too, the cost and, more importantly, the program itself. I haven't found, I've probably gotten a handful of calls that support Healthy Wisconsin. Overwhelmingly, people were not interested in Healthy Wisconsin, of course, for the cost, the small businesses, the sole proprietorships, the person on the street that I would encounter was just horrified and couldn't believe, you know, that was out there in terms of the burden it would put on themselves and their business, and that if that were really a reality, they would have to be looking at getting over the border or, you know, some types of things because of the cost. And then people that would be recipients and be mandated into the program were very unhappy as they heard more and more about it. It seemed like this giant HMO headquartered somewhere in Madison that people, you know, would not be able to have access to, but would be burdened with all of its rules, regulations, and costs. And they saw diminishing quality, diminishing access, all kinds of things along that lines. So I think that it is important that that is now set aside and that, you know, we move on with the rest of the budget. But importantly, too, I think the big chunk of the budget is done, be it the school funding, the city, towns, and villages, the shared revenue, the property tax freeze. I think there's agreement to all of those types of things and that the major work is done, and I think that the Assembly Republicans are wise in saying, well, let's get to the floor and at least get this behind us so that our school districts can get functioning. School has already started. Our cities, towns, and villages know what's coming. They can do their budgeting. People have some expectation for their own personal budgeting as it comes to property taxes. So I think there's a great sigh of relief that part is done.
Yeah,
and
the
Assembly has totally completed it, and I'm very anxious. I'd like to see the Senate go to the floor today, tomorrow, and get that piece done.
Well, you think that's going to happen, though? The governor has said, we don't want to pass the budget piecemeal, because you shouldn't pass one part of the budget without knowing how it might affect another part of the budget. I thought the Senate was not going to take up the separate education budget.
Well, I think that the majority leader who has the power to call us to the floor and do it should rethink that, because I think there's agreement all the way through. The Assembly took a quantum leap in just taking all of the governor's numbers and funding and saying, okay, enough, let's get this part done. I think that was a quantum leap, and I think it's really very I think we need to go to the floor and get that part done, and they can continue to strive to work out the rest of that. There's still a whole lot of work to be done when one looks at the difference in the amount of taxation in the budgets, in the Senate budget and in the assembly budget, there's still some stark differences in terms of tax increases. It's not, you know, Healthy Wisconsin was just a non-starter at all, so that's off the table. And there's still quite a bit to be done there.
Right.
But
do you think that there's any chance the Republicans will agree to a cigarette tax increase, for example, or that hospital tax increase to get more Medicaid dollars? Or, you know, do you think that that's possible?
Well, from my perspective, Joy, the numbers, I watch the numbers pretty closely, and a lot of studies out there, the studies that come in, these independent, nonpartisan studies from all over, any one that you look at, you see that Wisconsin is always one of the highest tax states, no matter how we look at it, and we're below average in per capita income. So there's a real disconnect there in that we're always in the top 10 in whatever kind of taxes are out there. But then for per capita income, we're average, below average. We're not where we need to be in the pack of states. So there's a real disconnect between those two. And with that disconnect, each year that goes by, it hurts us more and more. It hurts in terms of our tax revenues for the dollars coming in for people that really want to spend a lot on all kinds of programs and have this great quality of life, because we see people leaving the state. We see businesses hesitant to come here. We see businesses trying to function from outside of the state. And that's really very, very, very sad. We see our population going down, and that's, you know, there's nothing more evident of that than in our last census count, where we lost congressional representation. And now some forecasting of numbers I saw that when we do our census again, we could lose more congressional representation, it appears. So that does not make for a healthy state in terms of our own internal economy, but it makes us even weaker and weaker in Washington and the rest of the country when we're losing that population. Mm-hmm. So we really need to be mindful of this. It isn't just an issue anymore of, you know, liberals want to provide a lot of programs and Republicans, you know, don't want to spend any money and want to keep, you know, people having their money. That's not the issue. We all need to look past that and look what it's doing to our state, to our quality of life, and to our economy, and what it's going to do long term. We're going to be losing all our baby boomers in the next few years, and they all look at the income tax in terms of Wisconsin and then these other states that are warm and attractive climate-wise, and then also tax-wise, they look more and more appealing and more friendly. So people in their later years start to visit these warm states, and they start to spend a little bit more time in these warm states. Pretty soon they, well, why didn't I just change my residence because of the taxation issue also? So
we're gonna check weather, and I think we're hearing your call waiting. That's blipping out your voice every couple of seconds there. So maybe by the time we do our weather break, that call will stop. Or maybe, Christina, we could tie up a call waiting. Our guest is State Senator Mary Lozick. She's a Republican state senator from New Berlin. She's talking with us about the latest with the state budget. The State Assembly last week did pass a separate education budget, and Senator Lozick applauds the Assembly for doing that and hopes the Senate will vote on that as well. But we're also talking about news that comes on Friday that Democrats are dropping their $15 billion universal health care proposal as a concession to try to get moving on the state budget, hoping, though, that Republicans will accept some of the other tax increases for health care purposes that are in the Senate Democrats' version of the state budget in trade for that concession. We are getting your thoughts and questions about that as well. 1-800-642-1234 and Madison 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is The Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, 12 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Monday, September the 24th. Coming up after 8 o'clock, if you aspire to live well into your 120s, I hope you stay tuned when I talk with author and futurist Michael Zay, who says that we are on the cusp of a super longevity era. So let's find out more about that after 8 o'clock. We're talking with State Senator Mary Lozick, a Republican state senator from New Berlin, about the latest on the state budget, the areas of contention, and the areas of compromise so far. The news of the day is that Governor Doyle says he will sit down today with the Assembly Speaker and the Senate Majority Leader to try to hammer out a state budget, saying they're going to meet every day and hopefully try to get a state budget in place by this Friday. Do you think that's possible, Senator Lozick?
Well, I've been in the legislature long enough to know that everything's impossible and everything's possible. Mm-hmm. So is it possible? Sure, it's mm-hmm. possible if they can iron this out and how things go. There at the mansion, we'll all wait in suspense to know that. It depends on the taxes. From my perspective, it depends on how willing and how flexible and how understanding they are of all of the statistics and data out there, that taxing is just not the smartest thing right now with the economy the way it is, and because of the fact that we are such a high tax state.
Lots of callers for you, and everybody wondering about this healthcare proposal being dropped. Bob in Lake Tomahawk, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I'd like to ask the guest, do you pay for your own health insurance?
Do I pay for my own health insurance?
How do you get health insurance?
Yeah, but Bob, what do you want to talk about?
Health insurance.
Yeah, I know. So regarding what? Did you want healthy Wisconsin?
I don't see why the Republicans can't do something to help people in the state get health insurance. Now, you have the lady there. I imagine she's on health insurance from her job, so she's got people paying taxes, paying her health insurance, who don't have health insurance themselves.
Well, I guess, again, state employees, lawmakers, we do have health insurance, but you could say that we are paying for it, Senator Lozick. What do you say about those people who are having a hard time getting health insurance coverage?
In terms of the health insurance, okay, so Healthy Wisconsin's off the table. That the Senate Democrats will continue to pursue, as I've heard they say, and have hearings or introduce a bill or whatever they're going to do with it. So that's out there, and it's still out there for discussion, and Republicans do have proposals out there. The important thing is when we look at health care, this is one of those adages where when health care gets to the point that it is similar to other items that one purchases, i.e., the supermarket approach. You go in the grocery store and there's everything from the generic white bread all the way up to the very designer breads and everything in between, and you make a decision on what you want. You make a decision based on what you believe is the healthy bread and the cost of the bread and all that kind of thing. And until healthcare gets that way, where there's more of a supply and demand approach from the actual consumer, nothing's going to solve this. Healthy Wisconsin does not solve that. Healthy Wisconsin does nothing about the cost. It takes and puts it all in a giant HMO sitting in Madison, and you try to get a hold of those folks when you have a procedure, when you're not happy with your service, when they have to start raising the costs and cutting back on the access and determining who's getting too much care and who's not getting enough. That is not a panacea. That is not a panacea. And for government to come in and try and fix this, the times that I've seen government try to fix something, they usually make it worse. The best thing is for the consumers to have more input in buying decisions. That just must happen. The consumer must be more involved. And you talk to a number of entities out there. I've talked to a number of them saying, wait a minute. Healthcare isn't our issue. We've got that under control, and then they describe what their other problems are within their business or et cetera. So,
we have other callers on this. Chris in Trumbull, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I almost don't know where to start I believe the senator is being very disingenuous. I did the numbers. Healthy Wisconsin will save me and my family half of what our insurance premiums are right now and provide better coverage. The other thing that goes on is it will save my local government money. It will save everybody involved money. The other thing it will do is all those things that the senator was talking about, making it tough for people to live in this state, You get healthy Wisconsin in this state, you will see businesses coming in here. You will see people staying here. You will see a flowering of people who want to be entrepreneurs because they don't have to risk their family's health care. It's frustrating to sit and listen to somebody with ideological blinders on. Every other industrialized nation in the world has some form of universal access, and their costs are lower. Wisconsin needs to lead the way on this. And I think if the Republicans want to continue down this path, we'll see them next fall. And I will be out beating the drum for every Democrat I can who supports this plan. And I think we'll be seeing a Democratic assembly and increased gains in the state Senate. And keep it up, Senator.
Well, what's your reaction to that, Senator Lozick?
I'm pleased that he brought up the costs. I'm very pleased that he brought that up. And let's just look at that cost for a moment. You know, he insists that it will save money and it will be less. So let's step aside from the quality and the access and all that kind of thing and think about the money for a moment and think about our budgets. Now, the governor proposed a budget of $58.2 billion. The Senate, with their Healthy Wisconsin, proposed a budget of $66.1 billion. Now, you keep in mind, stop for a minute, their Healthy Wisconsin is only in that budget for the last 6 months of the second year of the budget. So only one-fourth of the costs of the program are in that budget. So they go to a $66.1 billion with only 6 months of Healthy Wisconsin. Now, if Healthy Wisconsin were in that budget for the full budget cycle, that budget would be $89 billion at the least. Now, the budget that we adopted 2 years ago, the 05-07 budget, which is our current budget, that budget adopted 2 years ago was $52.7 billion. You take that budget and you include this Healthy Wisconsin for the full budget cycle, you're looking at a $90 billion budget. And keep in mind, with just the 6 months and the number that's out there, the Senate Democrat budget is $66.1 billion. We are, in some sense, the laughingstock, but also the when it's looked at across the country, there have been articles in national magazines and newspapers and media that the $66.1 billion, with only one-fourth of that budget, including the Healthy Wisconsin proposal, is the highest in the country, highest tax increase in the country. How that's going to save people money is beyond me.
Yeah. Tom in New Berlin. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, Tom, go ahead.
Yes, I want to speak to Ms. Lozick regarding the effort to put more impetus on the individual consumer to control the cost of health care and the choice as far as to what they're making in regarding decisions of their own health care. I don't think that that's a very good solution overall because people, in large part, aren't informed as far as what is best for them, what sort of treatment that they need. I work in the healthcare field. I've worked at a number of different facilities, and it's very hard to gauge from a consumer's perspective what doctors are good doctors, which aren't, which ones are giving you information that you may need or may not need, which ones may be suggesting that you have a procedure because they may want it to increase revenues in their departments, or which ones are really giving you honest information. So information is crucial, but to simply put more pressure on the individual consumer and to assume that that is going to reduce costs in the healthcare industry, I don't think is a very good solution. In tandem with that, of course, you have things like advertising on television telling people that they constantly need more and new medications for different diseases and everyone has a problem now. So really there's a campaign of disinformation that's going on to the public, which is very strong, and the public's ability to get real information and good information as far as what types of choices they should make just really isn't out there. So it's not a very level playing field. And
I got to give the guests some time to respond to your concerns. Senator Lozick?
Thank you. The gentleman makes very, very good points, very, very good. And he mentioned I believe I heard him say he works in the healthcare industry, mm-hmm. and he knows very well what this is. And he makes very good points, and I don't disagree with any of the points that he makes in terms of the consumer having difficulty making the choices because the information isn't out there. And that needs to be out there. And I've often said that I'm a huge fan of labeling and consumer information. You'll always find me very supportive of that. I'm not a fan of mandates and forcing and foisting things on people, but I am a huge fan of government taking the role of information. And I think this is what the gentleman's getting at. And yet some people, it's very difficult to make that healthcare decision because they don't have the medical background to do that kind of thing. So he is very right, and that goes along with the transparency issue that we talk about and the labeling information that I talk about. That needs to happen. It needs to get out there. Right now, somebody is making that decision. When the employer sits down and picks the healthcare package for all of the employees, you know, they're making that decision. They're saying, we're going to use these docs, we're going to use these hospitals, we're going to use these procedures, we're going to use these insurance. And then the user, predominantly the workers with that employer, are all out there kind of confined to those types of decisions and that kind of treatment and those kinds of docs.
I'm afraid.
But in terms of the big thing, what he's saying, if I can squeeze this in, what really has to happen is all of these players have to sit down at the table, the docs, the hospitals, the insurance companies, the pharmaceuticals, and maybe another string I'm not mentioning. They've got to sit down at the table and make that kind of thing happen.
We'll have to leave it there. We're out of time. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Mary Lazick is a Republican state senator from New Berlin. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.